Coming up on today's show.
And also, I think I was kind of horrified of how, looking at the charts, especially country, how it works. I was like, why is there like 45 guys that I don't really know and like three girls?
Welcome to another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment, featuring interviews with guests who are having success in entertainment, primarily music. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking to guests who are singers, songwriters, musicians, recording artists, and more from the worldwide music community. Get in touch with me by writing to podcast@nhte.net, or instead of email, you can DM me through the @NowHearThisEntertainment Instagram account. Joining me today on the Now Hear This Entertainment guest line from Nashville, my guest is a British country pop sensation who just released a new album less than 2 weeks ago. The launch of that project came just 6 days after having performed at the Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum. She has already released 3 music videos for songs from her new album, and her official YouTube channel overall has a combined total of more than 1.6 million video views. She has live shows on 5 consecutive days coming up at the end of November in the UK, and had also performed in Nashville in September in conjunction with Americana Fest. She is also a member of CMT's 2024 Next Women of Country class and is the co-founder of an initiative aimed at promoting mental health and well-being in the music industry. Before rising to country stardom, she performed as a backing singer and dancer for Robin Thicke and Pharrell Williams. Plus, she has done acting work, including alongside household names like Glenn Close and Christian Slater. You've been hearing a song called Hypothetically, which is from her new album. Welcome to Now Hear This Entertainment, Twinnie.
Hi, how are you?
Wonderful, thank you. Wonderful. My gosh, I'm exhausted just reading all of that. And not only is there actually more that I left out, but I'm just the host of this show that's passing all that along to the audience. You're the one doing all of this stuff and more. So gosh, thank you so much for taking time to talk with me today.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you for having me.
Let's get started by having you share first about the song of yours that was just playing called Hypothetically.
Hypothetically, I love that song, first and foremost. I think this song is kind of different from the rest of the album. It's a bit of a segue into what's coming up next year for Happy Hour. But this album, something we used to say, is definitely a sad girl album. It was inspired by heartbreak, and in this album, I moved to Nashville. This song is about having a crush on somebody and thinking that they might have a crush on you and flirting with the idea of, like, should I tell them? Should I not? Like, basically, you're friends with this person. And, yeah, weighing up whether you want to ruin a friendship if they don't like you or go for it, shoot your shot. So the response to it has been amazing. It got played on the... keeps playing on the highway for an independent artist. That's amazing. And, yeah, I've had a lot of love from this song. People, like, go back to it and they're like, I can no longer speak to you. And I'm like, why? They're like, because every time I speak to you, I just get hypothetically speaking. It's an earworm for sure.
Did you co-write this song? And if so, did you have the idea for it? Did one or more of your co-writers have the idea? Just walk us through how that came together.
This writing session was kind of different because I went in as a top liner. I was writing for somebody else, an artist called Grace Gunn, who was amazing. And the producer and the other writer was called Reed Sorrell, who was a fantastic producer. Anyway, she had the title called Hypothetically. And I was like, oh, well, I'm a big fan of Lake Street Dive, and they've got a song called Hypotheticals. And I was like, I like this idea of, like, telling somebody, like, you like them, but then being like, joking, not joking, just joking. Like, you know, it's like, if you like me, then I'm not joking. If you don't, then I'm definitely joking. It's just, you know. So, yeah, it was originally written for her. She did the demo, and I went back to England, and I was like, I cannot get this song out of my head. Mm. And a lot of the melodies, like, it was very much a team effort, but it felt more like me, more like a song that I would sing. So I called her up and said, would you mind me singing this? And she was like, no, totally, it's fine. So I recorded the vocals in England, and yeah, Reed got them, and he produced the track in Nashville. So it was like, this song was definitely like an international, you know, little baby that was like being pulled from pillar to post. Like, it was mixed in Nashville, mastered in Nashville, but the vocals and BVs were in England. So yeah, it's cool.
You're calling in from Nashville. I mentioned in the intro that you've got shows in the UK at the end of November. So do you live in both places, or what is your permanent residence?
I live in Nashville, and I travel back and forth to England a lot. My family's there, but also I've got a bigger, I would say a bigger fan base there. I'm only kind of a baby artist really in Nashville, trying to work out how everything works and moves, and I'm only a year and a half in, and it's been pretty incredible. I've like made my opera debut, CMT's Next Room in a Country, as you mentioned.
Wow.
We've charted on country radio. It was like only 80, but I mean, it's 80 spots away from number one. I was like, come on, guys. So the journey has felt long because I've been coming back and forth for like 6 or 7 years. But in essence, I've only been here, lived here a year and a half. And I think as soon as I moved here, things started happening really quickly.
Yeah, yeah, it sounds like it. Before we move on, though, let's stick with hypothetically for another minute or so, because I watched the music video for it, and I have questions. I have questions. Audience, you got to check out this video. 20, here we go. Who is the girl riding on the vehicle with you? Where were y'all shooting that, and how long did it take to shoot it, hoping that there wouldn't be other traffic to contend with on that street? And my gosh, at times you were sitting sideways on top and even laying down on the vehicle. Were you afraid at all?
No, we were driving pretty slow, I guess. We filmed it in Nashville. We actually filmed that video in 40 minutes. Which is crazy. And the girl in the video is my friend and my co-writer, Grace Gunn.
Ah. And so it took 40 minutes. And was that because you had to contend with other traffic on the street? Or was it just, you know, hey, we're just trying to get a lot of footage to make sure we get some good shots to put the whole thing together?
I mean, 40 minutes was real fast. Really, really fast, considering like other music videos that I've done before. But yeah, we were like trying to avoid as much traffic as possible. But it was fun. People texted me and they were like, I for sure thought you were going to like fall off that truck that you were lying on. I was like, it wasn't really going that fast. And luckily I had a good driver and I've got good balance. So it was cool. I was like, no risk, no reward. Right. So.
But what about, was there people that were coming out and watching and seeing this film crew and this scene playing out over and over up and down that street?
Well, we did it across Nashville. I mean, to be fair, we're only out for 40 minutes and it was a few passerbyers, but not much, to be honest. Like, we didn't cause too much of a stir. I didn't want to get like arrested by the police because I'm not sure that was actually legal, but I'm always like, ask for forgiveness, not permission, you know?
That's right. Was that your idea, the video, the way that we saw it, the storyboard, or did someone involved with the video production bring that idea to you?
No, pretty much everything that you see I've like come up with, especially the music videos, because I'm just like so involved in every aspect. And when writing, that was kind of made just for like social media. I didn't think like this would be a professional like video, but it turned out so good. I was like, oh yeah, we'll keep this. But yeah, I think like if that song like blows up, we're probably going to do another music video, which is a different kind of take on it, which I'm excited about. We might just do it anyway for the hell of it.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, audience, go watch that video. It definitely looks like you and your co-writer are having a lot of fun there, and I think it is fitting the environment in terms of what the subject matter of the song is, the lyrical content. But anyhow, official congratulations now on the new album, which is called Something We Used to Say. I looked it up on iTunes and scratched my head because 22 songs?
I know. There's a reason for that. So I went through a major breakup in 2022. Like, I felt like my whole world was kind of crumbling. And yeah, I guess for me, it's a combination of the last two EPs that I've had out. Like, so it sounds like a lot, but it actually isn't a lot, really, to be honest. A lot of it was already done, so there's only 10 new songs. So
now, when we were talking about hypothetically, you were talking about how the song was flying back and forth between Nashville and England. So the whole album, was it all recorded that way, or was it, with the exception of hypothetically, was it all done in Nashville?
No, some of it was definitely done in, some of the songs were produced in England, and it was like definitely a team effort across the board, lots of creators. I mean, I'm international, aren't I? So it's only right that it gets done in two places.
So who was the producer on this? What studio was it in Nashville? And then again, just kind of give us, you know, the theme that runs throughout the album.
So, like, the theme of the album, going back off, like, the last two EPs that I released, they were called Blue Hour. And it's a sad girl album. Like I said, it was inspired by heartbreak, my journey to Nashville, and, like, kind of finding myself again.
Mm.
So that's been, like, kind of cool. And then my producers in, like, America, so Nashville, Chris Raffetto produced a lot of this, who's wonderful, amazing. And David Messi also. Like, all these people work on different, like, albums with bigger artists than me, like Megan Maroney and, like, Lainey Wilson, like, a lot of them, you know, have either written, been in rooms with, so that's been cool to kind of learn off them and be in their company. And then my best friend of 15 years, Barnabas Shaw, produced a lot of this, who I couldn't have done it without. And he's just amazing. He's going on tour with me. It's been really, really cool. It's been definitely, when they say it takes a village, it really does. And it's a lot for an independent artist, you know?
Yeah, and we're actually going to talk further about that later in the interview, but I'm kind of making an observation that I want to put this in the form of a question to you, Twinny, and be gentle with me, because what I think I'm hearing is 2022 is when you went through this breakup. You also said that you've only been in Nashville for a year and a half, which to me, if I'm doing the math, is 2022. So I think that you went through this breakup and you said, well, you know what? Since I don't have this person here now that I'm tied to, I got to make a change. This is the time. I'm making the move to Nashville. I'm going all in with my music. And I think you were rewarded for that, as much of a heartbreak as it was, because of all the success you have had in the short amount of time that you've been in Nashville. Is this me creating this storybook fantasy here, or have you seen that too? Am I onto something here?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he was the only thing kind of like stopping me from, I guess, like moving fully to Nashville. I'd been commuting for the past 7 years. So he really did set me free in many ways, you know, which has been really cool. And I mean, I wasn't happy about it at the time. But it's been definitely some life lessons. This album, you know, I had no expectations for it at all. And it's been received really well. And I think as an artist, you write things because you need to write things to kind of heal or to kind of understand yourself a little bit better. And this allowed me to do that. And that's been like just very soul giving. I think music, to be honest, is like one of the biggest healers. You know, it's always been around. We need it. We've seen that in the pandemic. Like, it's the creatives that lifted everybody's spirits, whether they were getting paid or not. you know, they do it for the love of the art. And yeah, I think it's like, art to me is so fascinating because everyone's playing this TikTok game and it's all algorithms, and you know, your success is judged by numbers. We don't treat, you know, people are not numbers, you know, but the success of something is determined by that, but it doesn't diminish its value. Do you know what I mean? Some of the best songs I've ever heard, I've got 200 views on TikTok or something like that, you know, like, and I can, as an artist, can never appreciate my music the way that the listener can, because it's like, I don't know whether I'm being played in a home in Alabama or a home in the United Kingdom and what effect that is having on somebody. So that to me is like really worth remembering when you find it hard to like compare yourself. And I think for me, especially working out how Nashville works, and I don't fit the Nashville mold, you know, I keep telling other artists that your superpower is you. And I think this is my motto for life as well. Anybody that's listening, like, it took so many people to get you here. Like I did a show last night with some of the best singers in town, and Ashley McBride was there, and we were talking, and she said this quote. She was like, "You are the answer to your ancestors' prayers." And I'm like, that is so cool. And it's so profound. And like, you know, there's only one of me and you, and there's never been anybody like that before, and there never will be another you. And that's something worth celebrating. So when it comes to music, I think everybody's superpower, because it'll be easy for me to go, oh, what's hot, what's cool right now, let's follow this trend, let's do this. But I've always been a person, and maybe it's hindered me in my career because I'm so stubborn, because I can't put out anything that doesn't feel like me. And if you don't fit the Nashville mold, sometimes that can go against you, because they, you know, especially being, I've been signed to a major label, and there's like a system that you have to go through, and that just doesn't work for me. And it's been, although the road to being independent is way harder, and trying to find your audience is difficult with like fight, you know, hooks and beating algorithms, like, I just think authenticity wins every time. And I think this is my best work that I've ever produced. It's got so much depth. You'll hear my story in these songs, in these 22 songs, you know, and that's why there's 22 songs on them, because the year 2022 was a huge chapter. It was a pivotal moment in my life. And I'm very, very proud of it. And I'm very proud of like all the people that worked on it, my co-writers, my producers. And yeah, I'm about to go on tour, so that'll be amazing to kind of have a tangible reaction. You know, I'll be able to feel it, you know?
Yeah. This is so powerful. This is like a mic drop kind of thing. Everything that you just said is fantastic. And we have more to get to, but we could literally end the interview right now. You just shared so many great insights. It's fantastic. Folks, the day of this episode's release will find me in Nashville. NHTE 562 with Twinny is hitting all the podcast platforms on November 20th. And if you've been listening, then you know that I've been saying that I would be in Nashville from November 19th to the 23rd. So if you're listening, say the day this comes out and are in Music City, get a hold of me and let's meet up. Next week, I head towards the left coast, as they like to say. On Thanksgiving Day, I'm flying out west. That's November 28th. I will be a speaker at the Las Vegas Writers Retreat on December 2nd and 3rd. That is for writers of literature, books, not music. And I will fly back home to Tampa Bay on December 4th. Meanwhile, if neither of those suit you, maybe I will see you on the road in January. The 16th to the 19th, I will be at PodFest Multimedia Expo in Orlando. Go to podfestexpo.com for details on that event. I will be one of the speakers for that. And then the following week, I will be in Anaheim, California for the NAMM show. Exact dates for my time out there are still being finalized. I love meeting listeners of this show. Email me via podcast@nhte.net or DM me through the @NowHearThisEntertainment Instagram account if I can see you in person somewhere to say hello and thank you for listening to the podcast. 20, you were telling us about the new album, but as I had said in the intro, 6 days before the album came out, you did an album pre-release showcase and a meet and greet with fans at the Country Music Hall of Fame. I'm not going to ask how was that because duh. So let me instead ask, how awesome was that? Tell us about that night.
Yeah, it was incredible. It was so cool. Like I really thoroughly enjoy like the more intimate, you know, audiences because you can see their faces and it's like just really like cool to watch them. I've got a song on this album called Audience, and the whole kind of premise of it is like every broken heart needs an audience, and it goes through all these little stories of like situations of different people, and at the end, you know, I talk about my grandmother, and then I go, I guess every broken heart sometimes needs an audience, and then I changed it to Country Music Hall of Fame, thanks for being my audience. And it just like brought the house down, and
cool.
It was so cool. And in that song, I talk about somebody's father passing, and it turned out a few people had just recently lost their father, and it was so powerful. And everybody was so welcoming. And I love when you do shows and people are actually really listening and you can have a joke and be yourself. And it was just like really cool.
Yeah. And literally look around the room and see people's reactions and see them looking back at you and being that dialed in to what you're doing up there.
Yeah, I know. It was incredible. I loved it. I loved every second. And I would, you know, that's the whole reason why I want to go on a like a US tour, because I just want to gain that connection. The reason why I do music is because I love the connection that it has with people, you know, and that's why I'm trying to be, well, I am successful, but I want to be even more successful so I can like share those moments again and again with different people. And it's been real cool.
Yeah, a lot of guests come on the show and they say, I want people to feel something when they hear my music. And in your case, you're saying that's why I want to do a US tour, because I want to get out and see the music touching people in a way that they're feeling something from my live performance. You know, yes, I want them to feel something when they listen to my music by themselves in their car, in their home, wherever, but to be out on a stage somewhere and see them and go, wow, look at that person. They are feeling this as I'm performing it.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
That show at the Country Music Hall of Fame was really cool timing too, because exactly 1 year ago this month, you had the honor of stepping onto the legendary stage that is the Grand Ole Opry. Take us back to November 2023, including the significance of that in your career and hitting that kind of milestone, all as an independent artist, I should add.
I mean, Jamie Johnson made that happen for me, and it was just incredible. There was a lot of people that made that happen, actually, but it was something that just blew my mind, you know, in the sense that I was like, oh my God, this is like amazing. The fact that I feel I was part of something bigger than myself. So that was cool. All my friends were there. It was a moment. I've never felt more present in my entire life.
Yeah, and I wonder in that instance, I have heard artists who have said, if you talk to them right after a show, they'll say, you know, when I was doing such and such a song, I was actually thinking about blah, blah, blah. And you're going, wow, they're in the middle of singing this song and yet they're thinking about something else. I wonder if that night on the Grand Ole Opry, if you're hearing me say this and you're going, yeah, I can totally relate to that, Bruce. But the night of the Grand Ole Opry, if it was, I was so just dialed into every lyric and every chord of every song, or if it was, you know what, there was a moment or two where I was doing a song and I was thinking to myself, oh my gosh, I'm at the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was one of those like pinch me moments, and they make it like so like amazing, you know, like it's very, very special. And it's like the team there is just awesome. Damn, it's just like, they really do think about everything, and you go through, you know what I mean? Like, this is a place where all the greats have played. Like, and it wasn't lost on me that, you know, I have been in Nashville a year and a half, and I got to play the Opry within like 9 months. Mm. That just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. And some people have been here forever. And no, I felt so insanely lucky and grateful. And yeah, to me, it seemed like the wait was, you know, it was overdue because I'd been here like on and off like 7 years, you know. But in the grand scheme of things, it really wasn't. And it was awesome. And I just feel very, very grateful.
An audience on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. I'm going to put a link to episode 496 of this show. It's from August of last year. My guest was William Michael Morgan, and he talked about the fact that now it's actually increased since then, because that was well over a year ago. But at the time that we did that interview, he said, I think it's just like 72 or 73 times that we've played at the Grand Ole Opry. And he said there, just like you're hearing Twinnie say, he was saying it does not get lost on him. Whether it's one time or 72 times, it's the Grand Ole Opry. And it's, you know, the mecca where you step on stage every time and you say, I can't believe I'm here. Just as you're hearing Twinnie, you know, all of a sudden you go, man, 7 years is a lot of time to be going back and forth and back and forth. And there you are at the Grand Ole Opry and you go, now I know why I was going back and forth and back and forth all those years.
Yeah, I mean, it's been really cool. I've just celebrated my a year ago, like I made my debut. So I think it's about time that they have me back.
There you go. I agree.
Yeah, so we're putting it into the atmosphere. but they're always so busy, you know, but it'll be really cool to go back and do it all again. Mm. I would love that.
Well, we jumped right into so much. Let's back up a bit and have you share about your upbringing in the Romani gypsy traveling community, what that was and how that informs your artistry, your fashion, and the storytelling in your music.
I mean, I grew up in a Romani gypsy family on and off. I was kind of, my mom was a non-traveler, which is called a gorgia in gypsy language, called rumness. And my dad's a traveler, so that meant, like, we would travel all around, like, Europe. And my dad would just, like, work, and my mum would stay at home with the kids. And we'd be packed on different campsites and travel around. And I think that really gave me a thirst for, like, I don't know, learning about people and different cultures, and made me be able to, like, mix well, especially when you're in the music industry. So that's been cool. To like kind of use that skill set all my life. It just kind of opened my eyes. And a lot of stories, you know, a lot of travelers listen to country music, and it's all about community and family. There's a lot of synergy, I think. It's no surprise to me how like Nashville feels like a second home, because that's how I grew up. You know, there's a lot of community in Nashville. Everyone knows your business. Like it or I'll leave it. But yeah, it's been good, actually. And it's so funny, like, how you're wired as a kid to see that, like, translate to how you're wired as an adult. Like, you know, those things that you go after. And I definitely crave community.
Well, but I can see now that you've told us that story and done such a good job of painting a real clear picture of what that all entailed, of how, yes, it could absolutely inform your artistry, your fashion, the storytelling in your music, because you got exposed to so many different cultures, so many different environments, so many different locales, that it just gives you a much, much, much bigger palette to draw from with all the creating that you've done, as opposed to someone who has been in one city their whole life and doesn't get out, doesn't have a lot of experiences to draw from. And as a result, it's going to be more challenging for them to try to come up with new stories to tell, whether it's through music or painting or whatever. So you obviously were the beneficiary of your dad saying, we're going to get out there and we're going to really get around.
Yeah, it's been like really, really cool. I think it served me really well in my career, to be honest, of like navigating people's personalities or egos or anything like that. It's just been easier, I would say. And I can draw from a lot of experience of like how I grew up. People are just people. The longer you live, you've met the same person. You know, like there's only like 5 different people in the world, types of people. And we're all pretty much the same. So I think I just learned that early on.
I'm laughing, but that's so cool because it is spot on. You're right. If we really wanted to break it down, we could. We're not going to, but you're right. We could probably come up with what those 5 different personality types are like. And it doesn't matter if you encounter them in Nashville or in Canada or in the UK or in Sweden or wherever. It's going to basically be the same different types of 5 people, and they're just going to look and talk different is all. I'm joined today on the Now Hear This Entertainment guest line from Nashville by British country pop sensation Twinnie. Visit her official website at twinnieofficial.com. I will have a link to it on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. You heard her talking about her brand new album titled Something We Used to Say, which just came out less than 2 weeks ago. Support Twinnie by purchasing that new release from the likes of iTunes and other online digital music retailers. On her website, you will see lots of links, logos, for many platforms where you can interact with Twinnie and her music. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. Join the almost 32,000 monthly listeners on Spotify, where her top 5 songs alone have a combined total of more than 4.6 million streams. Be sure to check out the new music videos that she has been releasing on her YouTube channel. November 25th to the 29th, 5 consecutive days, she has live performances in the UK. Look on twinnieofficial.com for details on those shows. We all have lots of apps on our phones, a lot of which we don't even use. There is one that I strongly encourage you to download for free because you will get a lot of use out of it. Owl is a social networking platform that connects people instantly through private one-on-one audio calls. I want to clarify that I am very active on LinkedIn, but that is not the only way that I make connections with new people. And if I'm being honest, when I accept connection requests on there, 9.5 times out of 10, I'm just padding my LinkedIn stats, meaning I don't end up interacting with that person. And it's probably the same ratio of private messages that I respond to on LinkedIn. But with Owl, users are on there because they want to start meaningful connections. And so you have actual voice conversations through the app with others who are on there. This is Owl like the bird, except with 2 W's and 2 L's. Here is how to get it. On my podcast website, nhte.net, tap or click where it says news, and then read the article under the headline, Help Now a Phone App Call Away. There are links in that article to download Owl for free from the App Store or Google Play. You will also see my invitation code in there. That is a required field as you're setting up the app on your phone. Download it, call me, and let's talk. Twinnie, I want to circle back to something you touched on in the first half of the show. Your name is on it, as they say, but we all know that it takes not only a team, but a community around an independent artist to help pave the road to the successes that you have had so far. Talk about your experiences collaborating with other artists and songwriters and how those partnerships have enriched your music and even broadened your artistic perspective.
Well, I mean, firstly, like, it's all about, you know, the people that you feel comfortable with, like, sharing your heart. Because it's a weird job going into these, you know, writing rooms with, like, total strangers sometimes and having, like, to pour your heart out, and it can be tricky. But luckily, I have my people that I write with and that I feel comfortable with. So that process is really easy. Some of them are spread across the UK or Nashville or LA. And it's been, again, these people know me really well. They know me really well. So it's been awesome to kind of I don't know. They were kind of used to me being like happy-go-lucky kind of girl, you know? And then to see me go through such a horrible breakup, I think they really did help heal me as well. You know, there was many conversations. Some days I just couldn't even bear to write because I didn't want to talk about the breakup. And we just sat and talked, particularly my co-writer, Chris Raffetto, and producer. He has been such a rock for me. And yeah, some days we just talked and I cried a lot and just never came up with a song. But that's part of the process as well. And, you know, to some people that's like, oh, we just wasted a day. Like we, you know, because everybody's time is precious, but they really were gentle with me and very like giving of their time and their talent and have been there through every, like, I've got like amazing friends. Anybody who's part of this record is definitely someone that I consider a friend, you know?
Wow, that's all so powerful. And I think that's kind of showing the sense of community that you have found around you in Nashville. And it is nice to hear when you go in for a write and it ends up being a crying session and people are there to embrace you instead of to look at their phone to see what time it is and go, well, I don't know if we're going to get this in or not. All of a sudden, it's never mind that we're songwriters, we're human beings and there's feelings here and we're not here to try to create a song around the feelings. We're here to support our friend Twinny and give her whatever she needs during what she's going through.
Yeah, and they really did. They really filled my cup up when I wasn't able to, you know, they definitely shone a light on me, which has been amazing.
On a related note, let's talk about your commitment to empowering women in the music industry, including your experiences with CMT's Next Women of Country and industry events like Americana Fest.
I started this nonprofit was in the pandemic with another songwriter called Summer Overstreet. And I was just kind of really horrified of the lack of support that, you know, I was with a major label at the time and kind of called them out in Forbes magazine, which they wasn't really happy about, but it needed to be done because these people that were sitting behind a desk at home were still getting paid and they had 3 therapy sessions. I was like, what about your artists that, like, you know, and this was brought on, like, I knew people that had taken their own life that were in the industry and it was getting so hard. And I was just like, there has to be, you know, you earn so much money. Like, this industry is nothing without artists and songwriters. What are you doing to, you know, help them? So we contacted a lot of labels and stuff and really put the pressure, and we were able to change that, which was really great. And we shine a light on female talent, but we also include men. So it gives men a space to like celebrate women and support them, whether that be in a writing room or live shows and stuff. And also, I think I was kind of horrified of how, looking at the charts, especially country, how it works. I was like, why is there like 45 guys that I don't really know? And like 3 girls, and it's always the same women. I'm like, there's so many amazing women in this town that, in my opinion, sometimes make better music. And you know, I think in Nashville, I just was seeing like every week another guy get signed to a publisher or a label, and they all look the same and they all sound the same, and I'm like, what is going on? Like, don't you want to celebrate individuality? Don't you want like things that you've not had? I know familiarity is good for the audience, but they also, you know, you've seen people like Chapel Roan, you know, like blow up because she is like different. She kind of reminds me of the female version of Freddie Mercury. Like, her branding is very out there. You have to, like, be yourself, and authenticity, like, rules, so.
But I wonder, in everything that you just described, was there ever a moment where you thought to yourself, maybe I need to watch myself, because as much as I've been coming back and forth for all these years, I am quote unquote new in town and I don't want to rock the boat already. Or was it a case of, Bruce, I didn't care if I was there for a month. Like, I didn't like what I was seeing and I couldn't wait. For how long would I have to wait until someone else stepped up and did it?
Yeah, I was horrified. I'm a big, like, justice person. I've always, like, fought against the bullies, and I was just like, this is ridiculous. Are you joking me? And I wanted to ruffle some feathers. I think that's my personality, you know? I really don't care what you think of me. I think as long as, like, I can help towards doing the right thing. Because if somebody's not going to do it, if I wasn't going to do it, who is? Everybody's, like... You know, it was important to me at that time, and I had more spare time. Now I'm so busy, I don't really get a chance to focus on the nonprofit as much. But it's been good. I've enjoyed it for sure.
I do want to clarify an audience. You heard me say back in the intro when I first brought Twinny on that she's the co-founder of an initiative aimed at promoting mental health and well-being in the music industry. That is called I Know a Woman. So Twinny, is that something where there's a website that just anybody in the music industry can go on there for help? Is it no, they contact me through my website? Like, just how does that operate in terms of people who say, hey, I need some help with my mental health and my well-being. I'm in the music industry. How can I Know a Woman help me out? Because I'm looking for somebody right now. What do the mechanics of all that look like?
Yeah, just contact us through the website and we'll get you set up, whatever you need. We donate to, like, charities like Music Cares and stuff like that to help them keep supporting people. And, yeah, like, writing camps, it's, like, all about community and stuff like that. So that's been kind of cool.
So there is a website for I Know a Woman, then, is what you're saying?
Yeah, there's a website and then there's an Instagram as well.
Okay. Well, I do want to make sure we talk about your acting career. Share with us about your recent role in Emmerdale and how your acting career complements your music, including how storytelling plays a crucial role in both fields.
Yeah, I've always been an actress since I've been young, and it just helps me with my artistry, to be honest. It just, like, helps towards, like, the music videos, and I've learned a lot by doing that. I think I'm a very concept person when I'm a writer anyway, so I already, like, know the music video when I'm writing the song, which helps me, and helps me, like, with concepts and branding and all that there, so that's been cool. And it's just another outlet, you know? I really do enjoy acting.
And just share a little bit about your role in Emmerdale.
It's an iconic show in the UK. It's on every week night, and I play a baddie, which has been cool to play because I've never played one before. She's a baddie with a heart, and the response has been amazing. And it films, like, 40 minutes away from my mum's house, which has been real cool when I've been filming to be back at home with my family, you know.
So that's current. In other words, you're not done. You could still be going back.
No, I'm still on screen. I'm still on screen at the minute.
Wow. Well, you started to mention something earlier that I want to kind of bring back up, because having released the massive album that you just put out on November 8th, it would seem like it's time to kind of wind things down and get some R&R and recharge your batteries. But I see you as the type that probably just wants to always keep right on going. So assuming that I'm correct about that, what can you tell us about goals for the future, including plans for tours, collaborations, or other projects that fans can look forward to?
Definitely some collaborations on this next record. I only had one collaboration on the Sad Girl era. And then, more tours. We're doing a bigger tour next year. I'm definitely going to take a rest in December because I think I deserve it. And then, we're working on Happy Hour, which has been great.
Happy Hour being?
Oh, it's a project. It's like the name of the EP. So it's kind of like, I would say, I don't want to give too much away, but it's like disco country.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's a little bit of an exclusive, Twinny fans, to kind of tease you. And as I always say, it's all the more incentive for you to keep up with Twinny online as she gets ready to at least reveal a little bit more than you just heard. We're going to close today with the title track from Twinnie's new album, Something We Used to Say. Before I let you go and we play that one, Twinnie, share first with the audience all about this song, if you would, please.
Something We Used to Say is one of my favorites, hence why it's the title track. And it's about just grieving a past love that you still love and remembering the last day that you both said, I love you. And now that's just a sentence in the past. And there's, you know, trying to work through that, whether am I ever going to feel this again or is my heart going to stay broken? I don't know. And it features some of my friends on the BVs, Katie and Cav, and they're just spectacular. It was written with Laura Oakes and my producer, Barnabas Shaw. And this is an old song. This was like 7 years old, this song. And I've just always loved it. And yeah, I'm so, so happy it's out in the world. I knew it was special when I wrote it. It's had a really good response.
Okay, but you say this is an old song, but I went looking on YouTube. I thought there's got to be a video for this song if it's the title track on her album. And maybe I didn't dig deep enough because I didn't see there were three consecutive videos that were released week after week after week. And I didn't see one for Something We Used to Say. Is there one and I missed it? Is there one coming? Or is it, no, we're just not even doing one for this song?
Oh, yeah, we've done one. It's just, I think if you go back, you'll be able to find it.
Okay. Well, Twinnie, congratulations, I'm going to say, on the new album, but my gosh, so much that we celebrated today throughout this conversation, the performances. Yes, we can even go back to the one a year ago, but your recent performance at the Country Music Hall of Fame, and can't wait to see what else is coming. It sounds like next year. So thank you so much for making time to be on Now Hear This Entertainment.
Yeah, no, you're so welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. And folks, with that, I will wrap up another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment. My sincere thanks to British country pop sensation Twinnie. Do visit her official website at twinnieofficial.com. As I mentioned earlier, I will have a link to that on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. Her brand new album, just released November 8th, is called Something We Used to Say. Support Twinnie by purchasing it from iTunes and other online digital music retailers. Be sure to interact with her across social media and music streaming platforms. This morning, I followed Twinnie on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and I'm sure she would appreciate you doing the same. But don't stop there. Twinnie is also on TikTok and YouTube. As I said earlier, she has already released three new music videos, and there are more than 1.6 million combined video views on her official channel, so go subscribe and binge watch on there. For that matter, tell Twinnie you heard her and her music on Now Hear This Entertainment. And by the way, give her a follow on Spotify. Wow, almost 32,000 monthly listeners on there, and more than 4.6 million streams on her top five songs alone. Those of you listening in the UK, go to twinnieofficial.com for details on the five consecutive nights of live shows that Twinnie will be doing from November 25th to the 29th. I do hope that you like this show, that you're enjoying what I'm doing every week on the Now Hear This Entertainment podcast. If you've made it all the way to the end, thank you for having stuck with Twinnie and I, and I'm going to assume that that means that you do like the podcast. You can take action to let me know that you appreciate the work that I do to keep making this show happen every week, every month, more than 10 and a half years without missing once, by going on my podcast website, nhte.net, and then using the yellow Buy Me a Coffee logo that you will see there. This is not a sponsor. It's not affiliated with any brand or chain. It's just a fun way for you to send your support, your thanks to me, including a note that I will see when you utilize that option. You can also just head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BruceW. That's going to do it for episode 562. Thanks ever so much for listening. I'll send you out today with another song from Twinnie. This is the one she just talked about. It's called Something We Used to Say.
I don't blame you. I never will do. Kind of guy used to not being fine. No need to say sorry every time that you call me. When you check in, from time to time. It's nice to hear your voice, but oh, I hate when you put down the phone. I remember I don't call you mine anymore. Don't have the same keys to the same blueprint, no. And I knew for the first time that we kissed for the last time. You let me down gently with tears in your eyes. I was holding you tightly and trying not to cry. And I'll never forget the day when all of you became something we used to say. I know it's over. Sometimes I hold you close, even though it's in the back of my mind. A part of you lives in the part that's still missing. To move on, I'd have to leave you behind. I'd replay memories and subsequently.
Say.